I really want to thank all the musicians. It's the music is just wonderful. The harp, organ, I mean, it's the spectrum, and I've so appreciated it. And I really appreciated that last song we're going to sing today. It really is excellent. The choir scared me the first hour. They just walked off the stage and left me up here. Our passage today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. And I want to back up, if you bear with me just a moment, to a few verses in the 30th chapter. And I want you to hear these as we prepare to read these eight verses in the 31st. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us or make us hear it, that we observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us? Now, this crossing of the sea is going to become important in just a little bit. Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart, that you may observe it. Now we pick up the story in the 31st chapter. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you will not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you, and you shall go and dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og and the kings of the Amorites and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will deliver them before you, and you shall go to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for promise, for hope, for new opportunity. And we give you thanks for April and her faithful 23 years of ministry here. And we give you thanks for her life among this community. And we give you thanks for Bob and the family that he brings here and new opportunities. Be with this community, loving God, as they enter a new land. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. There is something I did at first service, and I want to do it at this one. Any trustees? Board of trustees? Anybody? One. Two. Good. This is my Nancy. She has done 8 3-day breast cancer walks, and she told me, I'm going to write PB. They're the only church that has their bathrooms open on the 3-day. There you go. So, Board of Trustees, thank you for all of those, that opportunity. It's a unique bathroom ministry that you have, unique outreach opportunity, and they deeply appreciate it on that 3-day. And once again, thank you to all the musicians. And I want to thank Shannon and Susie and Joan and Lewis for the children. Thank you for making me feel so welcome today. You have been around our denomination for any length of time. You know that this time of year, the end of June, the 1st of July, is a time of change. Everything happens the 1st of July. If you're losing a minister or gaining one, you know that that happens the 1st of July. So next Sunday, Bob will come to be with you. This is the time of change. And April asked me to come and be with you. And I am not only a clergy, I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist. I run the church's counseling center down at First Church. That's part of my responsibility. And so when April asked me to come and see you kind of through this time of change, it's evident that she wanted me to be here pastorally and as a shrink, maybe partly. She thought that it might be useful for you to know somebody who understands grief and loss. I want to share with you her email that she sent to me right before she left. She says, "Thank you again for your willingness to help PB United Methodist Church through this time of transition. As I board the airplane for Brazil tomorrow, if you get a chance, please convey to the congregation that I depart feeling well loved and appreciated, and will be keeping them in my grateful thoughts and prayers. Love, April." A wonderful testimony to your love of her, her work among you, and your appreciation for her. I want you to know that I understand this sense of loss. I've been at San Diego First United for 15 years. My first year there was the last year of Reverend Mark Trotter's 26-year tenure. And then after Mark left, Reverend Jim Standiford came, and Jim retired last year. And so last July, our church was where you are today. We received a new senior and lead pastor last July after 13 years. And that time of transition is always a little difficult. The loyalties that you build over 23 years, 13 years, and the way of doing things kind of gets into your way of being. So change and transition are difficult. Sidney Harris is a cartoonist who does some wonderful cartoons for The New Yorker and some other magazines, and he said this: "Our dilemma is that we hate change and love it at the same time. What we really want is for things to stay the same, but get better. That's what we want, and that almost never happens at the same time. Things never stay the same, but they can get better." So part of my sermon this morning is to say that change is ancient. The only constant in life is change. The only real security is insecurity. And that's why we call it faith. Transitions that accompany and the uneasiness that come with those transitions are normal, and so is grief. The loss of somebody that you've worked with for 23 years and loved dearly, and their departure is difficult, and it takes some time. And yet, the paradoxical reality is this, that only on the edge, only when you move from the familiar into the unfamiliar, do things grow and change. There's a term called liminal space. It comes from the Latin limen. It means threshold. The only growth happens from the point where you leave where you've been, but you're not where you're going to end up yet. And that space in between those two points is where all transition, growth, and change happen. And it's never very comfortable. But sometimes staying where you are isn't either. So, normal, yes, change is normal. And we need to move beyond it. So our passage this morning tells of the Hebrews sitting this side of a river, sitting this side of the Jordan, and Moses has told them, the next day, you're going to make a choice. You're going to make a choice to pick up and cross that river into a new territory, into a new way of being, or you're going to stay here. And the way Moses frames that is to tell Israel, you have a choice today. Choose life or choose death. Not a literal physical death, but the death of stagnation, the death of not moving into the future. And the promise in this passage is that God will go before you. In Methodism, we call that prevenient grace. The grace that goes before us to prepare the way. And our psalm this morning talks about how we embrace that grace. We do it delightfully. We trust. And then we commit. You make the choice to move forward. So the context is this. They're sitting this side of the river. Deuteronomy is a word that means second law. And what that means is that Moses is going to share with this generation sitting at the edge of the water the second law, which means it is to say that they're going to renew the covenant that was made with them in Abraham and in Moses. They're going to renew that covenant this side of the river, and choose the next morning to get up and cross the river.
Now,
rabbis do a thing called midrash. I think we Methodist and Protestant and Christian clergy do the same thing. We just don't own it quite as openly as our rabbis and Jewish leaders do. It's called a midrash. They take the story and they'll tweak it just a little bit to make it fit their purpose. And there's a midrash that goes with the story of the crossing of the Red Sea as they left Egypt 40 years before. And the midrash is that Moses commanded the waters to part, but nothing happened until the first pilgrim's foot hit the water. You have to act. You have to trust. And you have to commit. Nothing happens until you do. So Moses has led them in the desert for 40 years. Part of the reason they've been in the desert for 40 years is that they are waiting for the generation that remembered slavery to die off. There was a point in which the Israelites said, let's go back to Egypt. We were comfortable there. At least we knew what that was like. And so for 40 years, they wandered in the desert waiting for that generation to die off. So the only generation that is left now waiting to cross the river only knows what it's like to be free, to trust, except for one. And that's Moses. Moses is the last of that generation. Now, there's a story that says Moses was forbidden to cross into the promised land because he disobeyed. There was a story back a ways in Deuteronomy in the Exodus where Moses said they want water. Well, strike the stone. He did. Water came out. Again, sometime later, there was a period of drought and they wanted water. God said, speak to the stone. So Moses struck it. And water came out. He did what he was used to doing, what had worked before. He may not have trusted completely. And it looks as though God is saying, so you don't get to go in for that disobedience. And I have a problem with that. I don't think God's that capricious, that literal, that demanding. I think part of the reason Moses doesn't get to go in is because a new generation has to begin. Moses doesn't get to go in. Not because he failed or because he broke a law or wasn't trustworthy. Moses doesn't get to go in because he's the last of a generation that remembers the choice to go back. And there is no going back. There is only forward. You either stay where you are or you move on. You move into that place. So this generation must commit. They have to re-embrace the law. Moses will die this side of the river. So, the central theme in this passage is one of choice and of renewing that covenant, that promise that's echoed in this text that says God will go before you and prepare the way. You must make a choice about your future today by choosing life, choosing to get up and move through that river to a new land. This is archetypal language. This is birth story. Moving through the waters is part of being born again. It's moving through that birth of a new nation and a new opportunity. And they have a choice to make. Do we do that or not? It's baptismal in the sense that it renews the covenant and they move across the water into a new land. So Israel sits by the riverside, just like you do. And you have a choice. You can choose life and move forward. But you have to trust. You have to remember who God is, what God has done among you, and then commit and move forward. The old generation that knew slavery is gone. And they are on a new trajectory. There is always a formula that goes with the renewing of a covenant. There is the reminder of what God has done in the past in rescuing his people. There is the reminder that God goes in front of you. There is the challenge that comes with being a community in a new land. There is the formal worship of God that recenters the community and gives them strength. And then there are consequences of not choosing, not punishments, but consequences that follow a choice of not moving forward. Now, before I go, I want to deal a little bit. I dealt with it a minute ago, why Moses didn't get to go in. And I think to a certain degree, this element in this passage of what looks like genocide, ethnic cleansing. They're going to move all of these people out that are already in there, is much more metaphor than literal. There are going to be things in the future that are going to need to be dealt with. Some of them we're going to take across the river with us in forms of attitudes and beliefs, trusts and distrusts. And then there are going to be things and challenges in that new place that we're moving into to occupy that are going to need to be moved because they're going to become impediments, or they have the opportunity to become impediments. And if you read forward in the book, that's pretty much what happens to the nation of Israel. But you'd be surprised when you move across that river, what doors open up in the life of a community, what resources move to you when you move toward it. Goethe is a German philosopher and writer. He wrote Faust, and he wrote this: until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffective. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That is, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, Providence, God, moves. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings of material substance, which no one could have dreamt would have come your way. Whatever you can do or dream, begin it. Boldness has a genius in it, and power, and trust God's Spirit. That's me, not Goethe. The nation of Israel is about to move into a new time, and so are you. You're about to move into a new time with a new leader. And the only leader that any of the Israelites had known up to that point was Moses. Joshua, yes, been around, but this is a whole other thing. Trusting him to move across a river into a new territory will take the things that that psalm talks about. Trust in God to go before, commitment to trusting God, and resting in that promise that God will go before you and make a way for you. And they are told in three different places in the passage we read this morning, he will be with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Do not fear. So that's my message to you today. It was the message to them then, and it's my message to you today. Choose life. In choosing life, you choose risk, because living involves risk, a willingness to take a chance. Failure is not the worst thing that can happen. Not learning from the failure is. Risk is involved in choosing life. Israel sits on one side of the river, and God promises never to leave or forsake them, but they must get up and act and choose to move across that river. And it's not that hard. That's what that first passage says. You don't have to send somebody to heaven or across the seas to get it, just across this river. And you have to do that, and it's not that hard. You can do this. Because the power of God's Spirit is in and among you. And that's what you trust. That's what you rely on. So Moses makes this one last appeal to the people of Israel. Stand up. And you have been standing up as a congregation for certain issues for 20 years. Long before it was even remotely politically okay. And you're to be commended for that. At annual conferences here, changes are happening that have been waited for people most of their lives. And it's exciting. This is an exciting time in our church. And it is my hope that when Bob comes, he will continue to lead you with the exuberance and trust in God's Spirit that is there and has been there forever. Every day is a day to choose life. Not just once. There is those moments when you trust in God, but every day you wake up, every day you have an opportunity to trust, to commit, and to act. So the new day dawns. Israel is about to move, and so are you. Next week, you will be greeting a new pastor, and you will have a chance once more to choose life. Move across the river and begin something new, a new adventure. And yes, it will be scary. Yes, it will be new and different. And your security comes from the one who has been with you and promises to be with you now and always. Jack Kennedy said this, "Change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. Your church, our church, faces the challenge to choose life. Even when leadership changes and there are challenges across the river, and we must trust, commit, and move. Because the God who has been with us promises never to leave nor forsake us. Trust that and move into a new future." Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for a new choice, for a new opportunity, for the opportunity to move into new life, into new ways of living and being. And we trust in your promise never to leave nor forsake us. Go with us on the adventure as we choose to be your people and to cross the river. Loving God, we do receive your love. Empower us with that love. Help us to choose life every day. In every opportunity, help us to choose to move with you as you have for so long. Remind us of the opportunity to trust in you and in your Spirit. We do once again lift April and her family to you and ask your blessing upon them. And we lift to you Bob and his family as they come to join this congregation in a time of transition, in a time of hope, in a time of challenge. Give this community and him your Spirit to guide them. Loving God, we lift to you all this day who are in need of your healing comfort. Bless them and those who care for them. We lift to you this day all who are in grief, especially Cassandra and her family. Be with them in their time of loss. We lift to you all of those whose resources are not what they need them to be. Guide them into paths that are fruitful and an opportunity to receive the blessings of following you. Loving God, we give you thanks for your presence always and everywhere within us. And we give thanks through all that we have through Christ our Lord, who teaches us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."